again, church, make sure you greet him. He's here tonight, of course. He'll be taking off later on. Greet him and thank him for being here for today. Pray for him. He does do a lot of traveling. He does all his traveling by car, right? No flying. So that's a lot of miles by car. But I know God's using him, preaching, helping smaller churches, and he's got a variety of different ministries in his ministry here. But certainly a joy to have him come, and he's going to come preach for us now.
Pastor Sean, thank you so much for having us, and also your dear wife, Kathy. Thank you for that, and thank you for you folks. It's always good to be here and, to see what God is doing in your midst. You know, sometimes you have to look outside the box and look in to see what things are going on, and there's some exciting things going on here, and it's always exciting to see. We live in a day and an age and a time when it is so easy to get discouraged. We see, if you listen to the news or if you look at our government, there's reasons, of course, to be discouraged. But the truth of the matter is God is on the throne. And we as Christians, we have the answer. He's not only our Savior, he's Lord and our master of our lives. If we give him opportunity to take over those areas of our lives, if you really read Scripture, it's interesting that many of the folks in Scripture, God's people in Scripture, were very good friends of suffering. And they didn't have a whole lot, but you know what? They had the Savior, they had God, and that was enough for them. And, sometimes in a world where it seems like we're never satisfied, we always want more. And there's nothing wrong with wanting more as long as what we're desiring is God's plan for our life and God's will for our life. This morning we talked about one thing thou lackest and how we as Christians, it's so easy to get satisfied. And of course, my intention tonight is to get us close to the Savior, to open your eyes and your hearts to a fresh view of Christ. And each and every one of us during these challenging times and difficult times, we need to see Jesus. He's all around us if we look for him. And so tonight, if you would, I would like for you to turn in your Bibles with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 12. You turn in the Gospel 12 and John, the Gospel of John. I try not to do like I did morning and not give you the chapter. Thank the Lord for our dear wives, right? Gospel of John, chapter 12, and I'm going to read verse 21 through verse 25. When you get there, if you don't mind, just stand one more time as we honor God by the reading of his precious holy word and inspired by the Holy Spirit. And in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, in verse 21, the Bible says, the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. And Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. All through Jesus' life, he kept saying to different ones, my hour has not yet come. And now he's telling his disciples here, now the hour has come when the Son must be glorified. And verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we do love you. And Lord, we realize that as you spoke to our hearts this morning in the areas of our own lives, where there are things that are lacking. And God, I pray that for those decisions that were made, God, that we'll see fruit from that. And that they'll bring honor and glory to your dear name. And Lord, we realize this is not only your hour, but this is our hour. Our hour has finally come. Lord, the government's a mess, the world's a mess, the home's a mess, the church's a mess. We need to see Jesus tonight. And God, I pray you not only open our our eyes, but our spiritual eyes as well. And open our hearts to that sweet smell and savor that can only come from God. And God, tonight we don't want just your presence, but we would such be honored with just your glory, Lord, and you'd come down and glorify yourself among us. And Lord, how we look for your time when we can be with you in glory, Lord. But Lord, before we do, we don't have to wait and die or get raptured before we can see Jesus. Thank the Lord, Lord, through your word and through our relationship with you, we can see you right now. So Lord, speak to our hearts. And if there's anyone in our midst tonight that does not know the sweet Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray with everything in me tonight that they too would see Jesus. And Lord, for every Christian that's here tonight, every believer that's here tonight, Lord, help us to humble ourselves and yield ourselves under the control of the Holy Spirit, and that we too would see Jesus tonight. In Jesus' sweet, precious name we do pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you notice there in verse 21, Jesus is speaking, disciples up there are speaking, they say, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Now, the older I get and the longer I've been saved, the more I desire to be with Jesus. So I've told you this morning, you know, I've been saved 53 years and preaching 46 years. And, you know, in all of those years, I think quite often, you know, it's been a long time. All my life, I've been in love with someone I've never met physically, but just as real as anybody I've ever met. And I want you to realize, dear friend here tonight, that Jesus Christ is not some theological idea, or he's not just a book full of a bunch of facts. He's real and he's genuine and he's special and he's precious and he's wonderful. And he loves you tonight. He cares about you. He sees what you're going through. Sir, we would see Jesus. I don't know about you tonight, my dear friends, but I can't think of anybody I'd rather be with. I love my wife dearly. I do, after 36 years. And you know, and I love our son with all my heart. I love my brothers and sisters in the Lord. And I love my brother and sister. And I love my mom and daddy, who is now in heaven with Jesus. And it has been my desire for the past 46 years in the ministry that God would take me home while I was preaching. Now, I know everybody else would be scared to death. My wife said, "I don't want to hear that," you know. But I just think that a man ought to do what he loves doing. And I'd rather die doing what I love and what God has called me to do before he takes me home. After all, it'd be my last message on earth. And you know, as I think about this, as I desire this, I'm always saying, you know, every message I preach could be my last. So it better be surrendered to the will of God. But anyway, I love the Lord Jesus Christ so much, and I can't wait to see him. And I want to die doing what I love most, but I don't want to wait until I get to heaven before I see Jesus. I want to see him now. So tonight, if you would go through the scriptures with me, and let's see Jesus together. First of all, I want to see Jesus when burdened with sin. I want to see Jesus. Sin destroys our relationship with God. You know, dear friend, so many people, just like Peter, are following Christ afar off. I don't know about you. I want to get as close as I can. I want him to put that light on my sin so that I can cleanse myself and repent and have that fresh fellowship with God that only him and his children can experience. The truth is, dear friend, I want to see Jesus. And you know, my dear friends, sin will destroy our relationship with God. I no longer desire him. And you know, that's what the scripture teaches about apathy in the end times. God's own people no longer care about the things of God and love God and desire the things of God. We're not talking about the heathen. We're not talking about the lost world. We're talking about God's people. Yes, I don't know about you tonight, but I want to see Jesus. I would like to see him right now, wouldn't you? Now think twice before you say yes. You know, I no longer desire to to be with my church family, and sin makes me selfish and demanding. Isn't it interesting when there's sin in somebody's life, the first thing they do is dump God, and then they leave their church family, which can center around them and love on them and pray for them and encourage them. See, that's why it's important that you come to church. You see, you know, the devil loves getting us isolated so he can fight us alone. You know, because he gets you alone, he'll destroy you. But my dear friend, I promise you, when God's people center around someone going through a spiritual battle, you will get victory. You know why? Because the devil will pack up and start running, because we're going to see Jesus. Turn in your Bibles with me tonight to Romans chapter 6, if you would. The book of Romans chapter 6, if you would. And I want us to look at verse 6 first. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. Notice the Bible says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now notice he didn't say that we will not sin, but we should not serve sin. We should not be a servant of sin. And ever since you became a child of God and Christ moved in and the devil moved out, you have power over sin. Say amen. My dear friends, you know why? Because we can see Jesus. And you know, and Jesus, the wonderful thing is that the day that you got saved, he imputed his righteousness into you and you became a child of God. And you know, there's just some things that God's children have access to that nobody else has. But first, we got to see Jesus. So, dear friend, notice what he says here in verse 12. Verse 12 says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. We don't have to obey sin. The Bible tells us, and we're going to see in a moment, to obey righteousness. Now notice what he says here also with me in verse 12. And then now let's look at verse 13. Now here it is. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. In other words, that's a decision we make. Don't yield yourself as members of unrighteousness unto sin, but as righteousness unto God. Instruments of God. Now, I don't know about you. I met Jesus, 53 years ago, and I want to be an instrument of righteousness. How about you? Now, look what he says in verse 16. Verse 16, the Bible says, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. You see there, dear friend, and then he tells us here in verse 17 and verse 18, but God be thanked that ye were, that's past tense now, that you were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart. It's always a heart matter. That the heart, that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. And all of God's people said, amen. I don't know about you, but I want to see Jesus tonight. And I want to see Jesus when burdened with sin. You see, sin is not only against God, but it also affects others around us. Think about our families. The horrible sin of an affair or adultery affects every member in that family. And the same thing when someone is being attacked by the devil, and maybe they're going through spiritual battles, and their sin affects everybody in this church, because you are the church family, and we're all in this together. Say amen. You see, because when we're in it together, we're there for one another, and that's what happens when you see Jesus. Aren't you glad that God didn't quit on you? Aren't you glad that God didn't give up on you? We ought not to give up on one another either, friends. And then how about our friends? Our sin affects our friends. You know, so many of our friends are watching and desiring to see what a real Christian looks like, what our life matches our talk. And there's so much talk about and profession about being a child of God, but you can tell by their life they haven't seen Jesus. I don't know about you. You know, and we're not talking about, you know, our testimony so we can pat ourselves on the back. But we want a testimony so that the world can see that Christ is alive and he's real and he's genuine because he lives within me and you, because we've seen Jesus. Oh, dear friend, and our church family, there's so much bickering and arguing and fussing among God's people. God forgive us. And our co-workers, sin also leads to more sin, lust and adultery and fornication, and never satisfied with God. Never will be satisfied with other relationships. See, when you're not satisfied with God, you're not satisfied with anybody. You see, because our vertical relationship, which is our relationship with God, affects our horizontal relationship, which is our relationship one with another. The Word of God, by the way, is the answer to sin in our life. David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee." And the truth of the matter is, the reason why we're weak and yielding to sin, and the devil is using us as instruments of sin under unrighteousness, is because we don't have the Word of God in our hearts. I think it's exciting and wonderful, Pastor, that you have these young kids on Sunday morning reciting the month's scripture. And you know, that's what it's all about. You know, this, by the way, this Bible here is not something that we carry. It is not just something that we know, but Paul said so many times, what you are know, then do. We're to do it. Just do it. And so you see, the struggle comes in the doing part, not in the knowing part. We know more Bible than we'll ever do. And the truth of the matter is, I want to see Jesus when burdened down with sin. And then second of all tonight, I want to see Jesus in this church. I do. I pray for you. I care for you. I'm always calling your pastor and finding out how things are going. I want to see Jesus in this church. And I said that because we will see Jesus in this church not only when souls are trusting Christ as Savior, but also when saints are trusting Jesus as Lord. You know, the great Apostle Peter learned a great lesson one day. You remember the story where he denied Christ three times before the cock crowed, three times, and he denied him thrice. And you know, the interesting thing, the great lesson that Peter learned that day is that, Peter could not deny himself, so he denied his Lord. And Peter learned a lesson. He loved Jesus, just like many of us do. We love Jesus, but Peter trusted himself. How about you tonight, dear Christian? Do you trust God? Do you really trust God, or do you trust yourself? I didn't ask if you loved him, but do you trust him? See, trust comes from building an intimate relationship with the Lord. So many Christians want Jesus as their Savior, but not as their Lord. Hey, I'm glad I'm saved today. I'm glad I'm on my way to heaven. But I'm glad he's not just my Savior. He's my Lord and my Master. He's the King of Kings. I want to see Jesus. But also, my friends, so many Christians tonight, they want to involve God in their lives instead of putting him first in their lives. Search your heart tonight, dear Christian. Do you just involve God, or is he first in your life? If you look in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 with me. Matthew 6:33. It's interesting here, you know, excuse me. The Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God," that's salvation. That's where we start. Salvation, and then you know, then we skip the second part and we go, "And all these things will be added unto you." We like that part, but see, we're missing the middle part. You know, it's Seek ye first the kingdom of God, that's salvation, you know, and his righteousness, that's holy living. And then all these things will be added unto you. You know why? Because when you are living righteously before a holy God, then he changes the way you think. And then you want God's desire, and God's desire becomes your desire. Instead of me wanting that nice Cadillac I got my eyes on, God burdened my heart to give the mission so they can go across the field to lead souls to Christ. And then I don't have to fight about it. God's changed my heart about it. You see, my dear friends, change the way we think to renew our mind. Look over in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12 with me, if you would, in verse 2. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Verse 2, the Bible says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God has told us many times that the battle is in our minds. It's in our minds. And so we have this faulty programming from the time we've been born, this world system, and God has to take and renew our mind and to put on the mind of Christ, and we are to do it daily. In other words, we got to see Jesus every day, not just on Sunday. And you know, that's why the Word of God and prayer and the family altar is so important. You see, dear friends, today, and begin to be like Christ. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16 and look there together, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And let's look at verse 16. Verse 16, the Bible says, for who have known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. You see, my dear friends, there are far too many Christians that are carnal Christians, carnality, baby Christians, immaturity, never grew up. Also, it means Christians with too much of the world in them. You want to know why? Because we have not put on the mind of Christ and followed his instructions and his guidance. Therefore, our mind hasn't been changed. Till God changes our mind through the Word of God, we're going to be carnal. We need to put on the mind of Christ. Look in your Bibles with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4 for a moment, if you don't mind. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. Verse 10, the Bible says, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatai, Titus unto Demelotai. Now, here Paul is speaking, and he's saying, you know, everybody's left me. Only Luke is with me. And Demas, having loved this present world, see, the world and the world system hindered him from being a blessed child of God. He hadn't seen Jesus. Have you seen Jesus tonight? Do you want to see Jesus? I want to see Jesus in when I'm burdened down with sin. And oh, my dear friends, many times we preachers ask ourselves, why is it the churches are half full with only a few faithful members? Too many worldly Christians who love the world way too much. Like Demas, they too love the world too much. I would love to see faithful, godly Christians loving and serving the Lord. In other words, I want to see Jesus in this church, where Christ is first in their lives and not just involved in your lives. I want to see Christians in this church have a Christian home and not just a saved home. You see, do you pray as a family? Do you have a family altar, a time where you pray as a family? Do you read the Word of God as a family? Do you have a family devotion? Do you have a family altar? Do you raise your children up in the admonition of the Lord? Folks, God didn't ask the church to. God didn't ask the Sunday school teacher to. And God didn't ask the pastor to. Mom and Dad, he asked you to. He commanded you to rear your children on the admonition of the Lord. I don't know about you tonight, but I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. You know, dear friends, do you also go to Sunday school? You know, it's a sad thing. I'm all over the country in Canada, and I've so many churches. It's the same everywhere. You know, praise God for those who come to church. Amen. But you know what? When we learn the Word of God, we learn it in Sunday school. That's where we learn the things about God and get to know who God really is, you see. And yet, Sunday school, hardly anybody ever comes to Sunday school, just a handful. I don't know about you, but you know, if you want to be a Christian who has a strong Christian home and a strong Christian faith, then you ought to make Sunday school part of your habit each week. In Christ, by the way, do you attend this church services faithfully? Is Christ the center of your home, or is he just involved? Do you have a Christian home, or do you just have a saved home? Thank God we're on our way to heaven. But what do we do until then? I don't know about you, but you know, either the Lord Jesus Christ is in control of our home, or the devil is, one or the other. And so why don't you decide tonight that you want to see Jesus in your home? That you want to see Jesus in this church. I want to see Christians in this church have a Christian home and not just a saved home. Is Christ the center of your home, or is he just involved? I would love to see Jesus in this church and our families and in our homes. Let's all say amen. Also, our relationship with one another. Oh, dear friend, you know, when Jesus is not in this church, relationships suffer. Relationships suffer. And if you study all through the Bible, it's not just about your position, it's about your relationship with God and your relationship with one another. Because when we've been with Jesus, others can tell. Sir, we would see Jesus. You know, you may be the only person that a lost person sees. And you know, so many times, you know, when I go up to a lost person, I don't go up with the goal, I'm going to win this person to Christ. My goal is, I'm going to present the gospel, see what the Holy Spirit of God does, but if he doesn't get saved, I make sure he sees Jesus. You may be the only smile they see that day. You may be the only kind word they see that day. You may be the only one pray for them that day. Make sure if they don't get saved, at least they see Jesus. And then through that, folks get saved. Thirdly, I want to see Jesus in the songs that we sing. You know, I tell you, I've lived long enough and been at it long enough in the ministry today, over all the years. Everybody's trying to bring the world into God's music. And let me just say this, you know, just because it's got a few Christian words in it doesn't make it godly. You know, we don't take the beat of the world and dishonor our Lord and our Savior. I mean, John couldn't even walk into his presence and face him. He couldn't even look into his face. And we're going to, you know, do all this worldly music in the presence of a holy God? I want to see Jesus in the songs that we sing. When we get saved, we are to sing a new song. When you become a child of God, he puts a new song in your heart. So many churches do not sing any of the old hymns that are full of doctrine and the blood and our Redeemer. All these songs today that have a few Christian words in them and the rhythm and the beat of the world, God's children are to sing spiritual songs. Turning your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5 with me for a moment, if you would. Ephesians chapter 5. And let's look at verse 19 through verse 21 together. Verse 19, the Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Well, the reason why so many Christians, they aren't going to submit themselves to God, and they're not going to submit themselves to one another, is because we got all these worldly songs and worldly hymns. We're not singing spiritual songs anymore. We're not singing the hymns that are in the Word of God. You are filled with the Spirit that you might have joy. You know, a Christian ought to have joy today. I know things are tough, but don't come to church like you look like you just had a lemon for supper. You know, look like you've been with Jesus. I don't know about you, friend, but I want to see Jesus tonight. You know, you are filled with the Spirit that you may have joy. Hymns are expressions of triumph. Hymns are expression of physical joy. Hymns are expression of spiritual joy and deliverance. Yes, I want to see Jesus in the songs we sing. You know, I'm going to encourage you, don't fight your pastor. Don't fight the leadership of this church that want to continue to honor God and sing spiritual hymns and songs according to the Word of God. Yeah, you know, that's a great testimony of your church. Number four, I want to see Jesus in the preachers in this pulpit. You know, thank God that God has sent you a man who has been faithful, who has been true to the Word of God. You know, you ought to give God glory for that. Don't take that for granted. I want to see Jesus in the preachers in the pulpit. So many preachers today are out there trying to make a name for themselves. You know, I hope when you're looking up here tonight that you're not looking at this ugly face, but I hope you see Jesus when you look up here. Too many preachers today want self-glory. They want all the credit. They want a name. Too many preachers in our pulpits today are administrators and managers instead of anointed men of God. Oh, how we need men of God, called by God, chosen by God, anointed by God. Somebody say amen. Folks have been praying for a man of God to come to town. How we need to see a man of God in our pulpits. It is God who brings honor to the man, and it is the man who brings honor to the pulpit. So many times, folks have told me that their pastor don't live or practice what they preach. You know, Mama told me the greatest sermon you'll ever preach is the one that you live. You know, as preachers, we have a responsibility that our walk matches our talk. That our preaching is just as real and true as our life. And our life should match what we preach. I did a revival meeting in an independent Baptist church in southern Vermont for many years. And the pastor told the folks, the reason why he had me every year was because he not only wanted the message anointed, but he also wanted the man anointed as well. Boy, you know, that'll give you a search of heart. You know, it's true. Hey, there's not a one of us preachers can open this book and not find 100 sermons in just a short period of time. But do we have a message from God? I don't know what you need. I've been praying about it. I don't know what your struggles are and what you're dealing with. I've been to the throne of grace, and God has anointed this message tonight for you to hear, for your benefit. Don't you want to see Jesus? Yes, I want to see Jesus in preachers in the pulpit who do not compromise, but preach and teach and stand for truth. And pastors who shepherd their flock and not just show up to preach. You know, that's one of the saddest things. You know, I see in different churches that I go to and I work with, a lot of pastors today, they haven't even seen their people since last Sunday. All week. Haven't even been in touch with them. The Bible calls us to be shepherds of the flock. And stand for truth. Yes, I want to see Jesus and preachers in the pulpit who are more interested in pleasing God instead of trying to please the people. Men who have a heart to serve others instead of having others serve them. Yes, I just want to see Jesus and preachers in the pulpit. Number five, I want to see Jesus in the darkness of the hour. when Christians are no longer walking in the light, but in darkness. Look in your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 13 for a moment. If you turn with me over to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13 and verse 12 through verse 14. In verse 12, the Bible says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cut off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." I want to see Jesus in the darkness of the hour. Make no provision for the flesh. So many Christians tonight are walking in darkness by allowing the flesh to rule them. I want to see Jesus as Christians walk in the Spirit. I want to see Jesus in the darkest night of our lives, a wayward child, no job, long-term sickness, when it seems as if the night will never end. Turn in your Bibles to the 30th Psalms real quick. Psalms 30, verse 5 with me. Psalms 30, verse 5. You notice there in verse 5, the Bible says, "For his anger endureth but a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." My friend, did you realize that it's always night and darkness for the Christian when he's not walking and living with God? Yes, I want to see Jesus in the darkest hour when problems threaten your marriage. I want to see Jesus. Okay, we all have difficulties. As I said earlier today, this morning, marriages need Jesus to be first. And our relationship with one another, we need Jesus. Have you seen Jesus in your marriage lately? And then number 6, I want to see Jesus in the hour of death. Oh, I want to see Jesus in the hour of death. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13 in our Bibles. Revelation chapter 14. In verse 13, the Bible says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Ye saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." In other words, when I get to heaven, I want to see Jesus in my death, because I want to take a whole lot of lost folks with me who got saved and go and give him and present him that soul winner's crown. I want to see Jesus in death. I want to see Jesus as my mama did on her deathbed. You know, when mama died, she talked about heaven so much. She sang and rejoiced as she took her last breath. And you know, dear friends, I remember preachers there that were visiting her and trying to comfort her and our family. Preachers still talk about their visit with mom while she was dying. Death was a gain. Having a desire to part, to be with Christ. When it's my time to die, I pray that folks can see Jesus in my death. You see, friends, especially the lost, who come to show respect for me and my family, that as the pastor preaches the gospel, that many would be saved. That they would see Jesus in my death as they have in my life. And finally, number 7, I want to see Jesus in glory. Amen. I want to see Jesus in glory. Turn in your Bibles with me, please, to Matthew chapter 25 before we close. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. And let's look at verse 31 together. In verse 31, the Bible says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. I want to see Jesus in his glory. Oh, dear friend, when I die or see his return in the rapture, oh, how I want to see Jesus in his glory. You know, I can just picture someday I'm going to cross over on the other side. And when I do, you know, I'm going to be sitting down by the river of life, and I'm going to take my shoes off and dab them in the water and do a little fishing. And I promise you, my friend, the Lord will walk by, Brother Randy, how's the fishing going? And I'm telling you, friends, it'll be so big, there's no reason for me to tell a lie. Amen. I tell you, oh, I want to see Jesus in his glory. I can rest in the fact that the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. And then Revelation chapter 1, verse 7 says, I shall see him. I'm not only going to see Jesus, but I'm going to be with Jesus. Amen. He has prepared a place for us. In John chapter 14, verse 1 through 3, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go away to prepare a place for you, that there where I am, you may be also. Oh, my dear friends. Excuse me. He's coming to get us, to take us home, to be with him. And he can be with us. We're going to see Jesus in all of his glory. And as we close, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Excuse me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, please. First Thessalonians chapter 4, let's look at verse 16 and verse 17. In verse 16, the Bible says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, excuse me, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. The harvest of the earth. I want to see Jesus in glory. Excuse me. In closing tonight, I'm not only going to see Jesus in all of his glory, but I'm going to be with Jesus in glory. But I'm coming back with him in all of his glory. Oh, dear Christian friend, I want to see Jesus when burdened with sin. I want to see Jesus in this church. I want to see Jesus in the songs that we sing. I want to see Jesus in the preachers in the pulpit. I want to see Jesus in the darkness of the hour. I want to see Jesus in the hour of death. And I want to see Jesus in his glory. Sir, we would see Jesus. I don't know about you tonight, dear friend, but you don't have to die and get raptured and go to heaven before you see Jesus. I know the desire of this man's heart is that everyone in this church would see Jesus. And boy, what a difference we have in our families and our homes and in our churches if we would just turn our back on the world and the flesh and the devil and say, sir, we would see Jesus. Every head bowed and every eyes closed, please, no one looking around for a moment. Please, no one leaving the room for a few minutes. Maybe you're here tonight. Maybe you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. I've got news for you tonight. And God is taking the scales of blindness off of your eyes tonight, your spiritual eyes. And open up your eyes and you finally see Jesus. If you may trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, don't turn your back on God. And God loves you. Because God cares about you. God has provided a place for you. And there's no reason for any intelligent person to say, Lord, no, I don't want to go there. I don't want to be saved. When God has given you the opportunity right now to do just that.
Scott's function, come up to the pastor, shake his hand, tell him that you'd like somebody to show you from the Bible how you too can have eternal life. Excuse me, that you too would see Jesus. And you're Christians. How long has it been since you've seen the Lord? How long has it been since you've seen Jesus? He's here tonight among us. He's spoken to all of my hearts. Now it's time for us to act. We sing the invitation hymn. Let's all please stand. I'm going to turn the service over to Pastor. I'm going to pray. I'm going to come to you. Lord Jesus, we surely love you. And Lord, even in our finite minds tonight, we realize we're not everything that we should be. We're good for you. God, help us to put aside all the excuses. Lord, thank you for showing yourself tonight to us. Lord, how we desire with all of our hearts just to see Jesus. Lord, if there's any lost person in our midst tonight who's never, ever trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord, I pray you to show yourself to them tonight. Lord, it's time that they saw Jesus. Lord, for each and every one of us in this room tonight, whether it's in the darkest hour, whether it's in death, whether it's in glory, whether it's in the church, whether it's in our home, whether it's in the pulpit, whether it's in the moment of burden of sin, Lord, we just want to see Jesus. We love you, Lord. Thank you for saving us. In Jesus' sweet, precious name we pray. Amen.
Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. You heard us straight here this evening, and maybe you're here tonight. You don't know Jesus as Savior. You've never seen Jesus. Well, why not make today the day of salvation? What are you waiting for? If you're here tonight and you know in your heart that if you were to die today, you do not know 100% sure you'd go to heaven, why don't you settle that tonight? You know, we're going to rejoice with you. No one will laugh at you because of that decision. We're going to rejoice with you. If you're here like that, boy, I'm going to urge you in just a few minutes to come forward, shake my hand, say, "Preacher, I want to be saved." Maybe, Christian, tonight, maybe it's been a while since you've really seen Jesus real clearly. Maybe there's some things in your life. Maybe there's some sin that you picked up. Maybe some weight, some sin that's easily besetting you that you know that you need to set aside. Maybe God's spoken to your heart tonight about seeing Jesus. As the pianist plays, I'm going to urge you, if you're not saved tonight, won't you come forward? If God spoke to you, your heart tonight, Christian, won't you go ahead and move as the pianist plays, as the music plays? That's it. All to Jesus I surrender. That's it. That's it. My friend, are you saved tonight? Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? Or wouldn't it be nice to go ahead and settle that? Be able to say that with a yes. I know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. Now, I know how you teenagers are. You're going to sing and not just stand here. You know the song, right? Do we need to give you a hymn book so you can hold it out?
Yes.
You all know it? You do need it. Okay. All right. Welcome to the book. You're number 300. Someone right in the center, hold it. All right. I got to get my choir fixed. I tell you. I think they'd come prepared, you know. We thought they'd know about it by now, all right? Hold it right out in the center, okay? Sing out there, teenagers, okay? Smile. You always sing better when you smile, okay? Right? Okay. Here we go. All three verses of Take the Name of Jesus with You. Get my pianist all warmed up here. All right, sing out now, all right? Help me out now, okay? Good. Of Faith Baptist Church, give them a big hand. All right, good job. All right, good job. I tell you what, looking at these young people, boy, it's great to know that God will use anybody, huh? Especially this side. No, I love them teenagers. Amen. Be praying for these kids. A lot of them going to be wrapping up and shoring their money up for the trip here, and praying for these teenagers and church. I just want you to be thinking about them here these next few weeks. And these youngins on this side, it won't be long. They'll be right on that trip. It's just amazing. I may as well just say, Abby's been looking for this trip for years, and it's finally hit her. And it just shows we're getting older. Amen. But praise the Lord. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you for being in church. Wonderful, wonderful day in church. Praise the Lord. And why don't we go ahead and close in prayer. Brother Robles, won't you come on up? And I'll have Brother Robles close in prayer, as I call him, the man of many personalities. I appreciate Brother Robles. You know what I'm talking about. Mr. Puppet Man. Amen. I think I'd be like, you know, he's our puppet man, okay? Some of you are going to go out and say, is he a schizo? Well, you'll have Sometimes. To take it.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this message. Father, help us to see you everywhere, Lord, in every area of life, that we might glorify you. Thank you, Jesus. Someday we're going to see you in glory. Father, we pray that you be with us now as we dismiss from here. Lord, help us to remember, Lord, and help us to keep in our hearts that, Father, someday, Lord, and we need to see you everywhere, Lord. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you so be with us now. Give us safety. Give safety to Brother Randy and Sister Lord and Sister Sandy as they travel back to Western Mass. Lord, be with them. And give traveling mercies to everyone here, Lord. And we thank you for all things. In Jesus' name, amen.